Philippians, for a change. Chapter 3. Yesterday we ended it. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. That's kind of big.
Kind of what?
Big, important.
Big, or is it vague?
No, it's not vague. It's very clear.
Quite specific.
So people want to understand it vaguely. Yeah. Stop and think about, during any particular day, how many times your mind automatically goes to what is a gain to you. It could be a loss to you. It could be esteem or respect, or it could be somebody is, you know. Harry and I had another one of our infinite deals yesterday. And he told me that he couldn't hear me because I was staring at him. But there's a million. Each one of us has. And so what I said was, that means that someone can only exhort you if you're being exhorted according to your understanding. Now, and again, it goes on and on and on. You could think of the things that you consider and respond to that are a loss, that you perceive as a loss. I mean, so the whole, this is why what I talked about Sunday night, we have no capacity for understanding. For knowing and understanding this mystery of Christ, or who he was, or who he is. Because we are hardwired not to. And so the whole secret of everything must always be the emptying. Did you get mad at me anymore during the day over that?
No, but I could now. What?
Okay.
Made me think I can't hear you when you talk too loud. When you get loud, sometimes I shut down and have to defend myself. But a soft voice turns away my wrath.
I'm so glad you said that, Gary.
Screaming at him all the time.
Huh?
Yeah. Screaming at him all the time now.
Whisper, that's all I need.
All right, then it's emphasized in verse 8. Yea, doubtless. Now, the word yea, doubtless is a translation of, I think it's 6 or 7 words in Greek that it means. Without any question, I'm saying this to you. I mean, it's like he's emphasizing every. You've never seen 7 words like this to emphasize, to say yea, doubtless. I mean, it's just total emphasis on this. It calls every bit of attention that you have to this one point. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss. Or forfeited is a better, or forfeit is probably the better word than loss there. He forfeits all things. Every idea he has, every way things should be, every material possession, he forfeits all things. I count all things but being forfeited for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. There's a scripture in Galatians that always seems kind of mysterious. It talks about that he is both crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto him. You remember when we've studied that in the past? There is no spiritual gain to suffering the loss of all things. You can do that through stupidity or, you know, anything. Bad management.
Living long enough.
To suffer the loss of all things is not... It means much more than that here. It means to suffer the loss of all things, and anything left you give away or give up. And it's in order that you might be crucified to the world, and the world be crucified to you. Do you see the difference? It's like weakness. When Paul says, when Jesus said to Paul, when he was talking about his thorn in the flesh. And Jesus said to him, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And the word weakness there is a word that means proffered weakness. It means that you understand your total weakness. But if you happen to have any abilities that, you know, are left over from something, that you give those away also. It's back to emptying. I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Now the point herein is there's no. If you suffer the loss of all things, and you just think about them all the time, and then it's not emptiness. It's not anything except stupidity. You suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung. Now that means that there is nothing in the universe that you want.
Like Lot's wife looking back longingly, she lost everything.
Right. I mean, and the reason that this is so important is that once you have tasted this. This mystery of eternal life, that you're seated on the mercy seat, then there is nothing in the universe that can compare to it, and everything in the universe becomes as dung. Now, the only way there is by... You have to find out. You can't, you know, you could tell one of the, some, let's, we'll take Fiona. You could tell Fiona forever and ever that candy is bad for her, but every time she went, you know, I want candy. And so the same is true with us. Until we see that, until we can agree with what bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance really is, and what, you know, no more ideas, oh, I wish I were here, or I wish I were there, or I wish things were like this. You can't really understand this, and this is probably one of the most critical passages of all of Paul's writings, and it's the least understood, because it's, you know, how could I... This includes everything. It includes relationships. It includes you know, first loves and pining after the fjords and everything else. It's you've suffered the loss of all things, and that's, you know, that's only half the sentence. And do count them but dung. Why? Because you have experientially known something that's a million times greater. It's not, otherwise you just get this, you know, this kind of asceticism that...
Yeah, it can become heroic.
Yeah, it's just...
If you give up dung, it's not heroic.
No.
I was thinking the scripture says, I've been crucified to the world and the world's been crucified. He could have said, I'm dead to the world and the world's dead to me. But instead he said, crucified, which means not only dead, but a shameful death. In other words, you don't consider somebody who hangs on a cross to be a hero for dying.
Right, right.
So the world sees me in a shameful separation. And so I see the world as a separation, but in shame. I'm shameful of it.
But it's back to this working out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It's the idea... And that the way keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower, and it's because the attitude of you know, if you think you've given up all things, you haven't even started yet. I mean, and so, and at each the verb tense here means it's a continuum. It's not that I have done something back then and.
Well, you don't keep a list of your times you took a crap. You don't look back longingly. Oh, last Thursday I had a really good one. I mean, it's gone.
Right, but the point of this is that every day you will find out something else that's done. Because that's what the process of sanctification is. Because anything that you thought was important will come if you. Are in this position of yieldedness to the Father will come slowly, but surely, until you really did suffer the loss of all things, and you really do count them as done, not just an intellectual or philosophical construct that you've made. What?
It's kind of gross, but I mean, it was cherry pie once, but now it's definitely. It's beautiful, and it's time, but it's done.
And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Now, that's not strong enough. Be found in Him, not having mine own rightness, that I am never right. That's a biggie. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, meaning that, and that's the general word for law. It's the way a thing works in the sensory world. That if you do something, remember, I can't remember the word is, but right now, but it's in the Psalm somewhere. Men will speak well of you. Are good of you when you do well unto yourself or for yourself. That's the nature of the human race. You know, men will speak well of you when you do good unto yourself, or speak good of you and you do well unto yourself. You remember that?
Oh.
Isn't that what? Stop. I mean, that's what we... That's... Think of what that means. Think of what somebody said earlier. If it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. And it's not that you should become this thing that... You should just see rightly. And if you see correctly, then this you'll see it. What you then esteem or give importance to or give praise to is only God, because everything else pales in nothingness to Him. Everything is beautiful in its time. But the process of that being worked out in you is a slow recognition that of only esteeming or giving importance or thinking he is beautiful. Not by sorcery, but by seeing that everything else just fades away. All right. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, if anybody likes to meditate, think about something. Think about that one. Think about what it means. What he's saying here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It's not even your death. It's his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And we're going to stop. I mean, we're not going to go any further, because that's a... You attain unto the resurrection of the dead by... Resurrection can't happen without a death. But that's another story. Let's go to Galatians 5. It's to the left. No, that's Galatians 6, I'm sorry.
I got to say something you said a minute ago about it's nothing in your life needs to change, your circumstances, your situation, nothing about that makes the difference. It's all about how you see your circumstances. If it wasn't that way, then there'd always be work to do and changes to make and upheavals and whatever. Just it all is this little transaction in your
life. But it's all about tested along the lines of that you agree to every time you take communion. And that is that you agree that you, when you say nothing has to change, the thing that changes is your willingness to give more and more of what is yours away. And that because all of this is tested by that you lay down the right to yourself for someone in need. And that, so it's not that you go... Yeah, it's what will happen, and the process of sanctification will test whether or not you're willing, or whether whether or not you where you are trying to protect what you have. Again, it's all. I get nervous for myself when I talk about stuff like this because I don't want it to mean like you're going to go out and do something right. It's simply It's simply what will happen if you present yourself as the sacrifice. I mean, you won't have to have any plan of action or have no plan of action. I mean, it's just what is.
I felt bad for that. Gary sent around an email a few days ago from that young fellow. I guess he's a young fellow that was listening and is feeling guilty. And did you read it? I don't know if anybody responded to him or not, but I just felt so sad for the guy because he was hearing what we're saying as condemnation and guilt. And his life isn't right. He should go become poor and beat himself with sticks or, you know, I mean, it's extruding the point, but I just felt sorry for him. I hope somebody wrote that.
Yeah, I wrote him. It's the whole... I don't know about anybody else, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world than here. No. That's not very smart. I mean, it's not very anything according to the world standards. But the only reason I wouldn't rather be anywhere else is because I value the fellowship more than anything else in the world. It's not that I have to give up something to do it. Does that communicate?
I said to our visitors last week, in the course of the conversation, I told them, and I mean this with every bit of everything I can muster, I am richer and freer now than I've ever been in my life. I mean, I really feel like a rich man.
I have or I haven't seen the sewing machine. Whatever your sewing machine is.
I'm done.
Okay. In verse 12, chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Now, you can't believe over the years how many lectures I've gotten about language. Now, I'm not trying to justify language. I'm just saying, it just happens. I don't know what to, I'm not trying to...
Are you talking about
bag language? Well, that too.
Just
my abuse of the English language and my use of bad words. But I can't circumcise myself. I can't stop, because if I do, then I'm just lost. I can't judge myself. I can't fix myself. I'm not trying to justify anything. I'm just saying that for me, if I tried to change that, then I'd throw away the whole mystery of God. For me. I'm not saying anybody else should do what I do. Except I promise you, every day you will run into something around here that you want to change.
Just one thing.
many things. Now, and you'll find something about somebody that you want to change. As many as desire to make a fair show on the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, to stop doing something. Lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What does that have to do with anything? Can anybody explain that, what this says? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Everybody understand that, or does anybody understand it?
Well, we'd like to transplant it into now. It means to make a... it really is talking about a religious impression on somebody, you know, and then you want somebody to, you know, to change whatever the thing is so that you won't be, you know, inflicted with whatever the persecution/embarrassment/whatever
Osteen. It's like Joel Osteen. The world wants, you know, health and wealth, so therefore.
Well, it's easy to pick on Joel. I don't want to pick on Joel. I want to pick on you.
Yeah,
or us here.
I think it means, because I'm thinking about our little tete-a-tete yesterday, I think it means when I am trying to be right, I come against anybody or anything that reveals that I'm not right.
Well, let's pick on Ronnie, because Ronnie's, that's so easy. It's like,
and he has a motion.
What? No, I mean, this is something. Ronnie cannot be on time for anything. It's in his nature. The only thing he can be on time for is if he has an appointment somewhere else. Now, I've heard from, you know, it bugs me if he's late for Bible study. It bugs Harry if he's late for work. Now, I'm speaking about me now. I would like to change him so that he has an on-time gene. Now, what I'm trying to do is make a fair show in the flesh.
And escape the persecution that you feel when he's not.
Right. That was too easy. But, you know.
Because being on time is important to you, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the way that you're right, is by being on time.
That's the religious.
And when he isn't on time and isn't hit with lightning, it proves that you're wrong.
Well, but it's every, that was just a real easy one to see.
But a damn good one.
It's your values become, that's your religious stuff. You worship it, you don't abide by that, or, you know.
See,
like
clearly
children.
Raising children. Children.
Huh?
See, clearly when you raise
children. Oh, yeah. Like, when I'll never forget.
I see Michael over there going,
Yeah. No, I mean, when Liam was like two or three and I had him smoke my pipe, and Matt went ballistic. I mean, it was the worst possible thing. He got so mad at me he couldn't speak. And then he did speak and he yelled at me and I couldn't hear him because he was yelling and staring at me.
Because you're so
easy to
intimidate. Evidently, you didn't have a father that did that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you had your wolf go after his nuts.
So what can we learn from that?
No, but my point is that there's nothing. I mean, everybody has opinions about kids, and so there's nothing that you want to do more than not be embarrassed about your kids. Harry won't go eat with me anymore. When I used to go out to restaurants, because these little kids were running around the restaurant, and I had the little kid come over, and I whispered in his ear, and I said, if you don't go sit down, I'm going to break your arm, and if you tell your mother, I'm going to break your other arm. So he went and sat down. And Harry was just offended by that. He's traumatized for life. And Harry was just totally offended.
Yeah.
Yet another reveal.
Trauma is not all
bad.
You say that to my kids, I'll break your arm.
But the whole point of everything we do is we try not to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, what does that mean? The endemic to it means that if it has something to do with the cross of Christ, we know that that means from that point forward, everything is perfect. And if I think something is wrong, then I'm if I try to get somebody to change their habits or change their being, then I am trying. I don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ because I think something is wrong. I don't care. Until the day hell freezes over, there is something critically wrong with us having all of those damn boxes up there with labels showing. That is like that's the worst offense that can happen. Because my mother and dad hated labels, and so everything we had was in another container. If we talked about the pieces of paper in the streets. I used to get people to go do it. Now I just go do it if I can. But that is, for me wanting to change that, I think that there is something wrong, then I'm suffering persecution for the cross of Christ. And that's a trivial kind of thing, but you've got to see it down to including even the smallest behavior patterns of people that are around. If we try to change their behavior patterns, then we're saying it isn't finished, it isn't complete, it isn't perfect. By one offering, I've been perfected forever by the cross of Christ, but by his offering, but certainly not Harry. You understand what I'm saying? So it's real. It's gut level. It's not. It has to mean the persecution for the cross of Christ has to mean that by definition everything is perfect. Everything is finished. So if I want to make a fair show in the flesh, that means I am trying to change something by my understanding of all the little templates that I have in my mind in order to avoid suffering persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, what is the persecution? It may be simply internal. It may be because I am afraid that I will be embarrassed publicly by association with something. It may be a thousand things. But I promise you, when you see and apprehend, when this one apprehends you, it'll change your life. Because you can't possibly ever again think something should be a right way. I mean, I use these silly things in my own background, but just because I don't feel like picking on you guys this morning, but, you know, we know each other well enough to know all of these little peccadilloes that we have that we think are the right way to do something. It's just right, goddammit. And they're all wrong. Can you see what that means?
Sure I do. And what I'm sitting here kind of amused with is I look at that and I think that that's kind of cool. No, I'm not.
It doesn't matter what it is.
No, but it's my point. I can see beauty in that.
That's because they're orderly. But if they were all mixed up.
Well, the challenge is for me to see beauty in Ronnie being late to everything.
Well, the challenge is to see everything is finished. And then to the merciful, and that will automatically cause mercy to happen. And then to the merciful, he will show himself merciful. And that's a huge deal. Because, you know, there's some of you that think that the next foot's going to drop. I mean, the next shoe's going to drop. I mean, the foot's going to drop.
Something's going to happen.
Or one of those things is going to drop. See, there's a perfect example right there. What I talked about earlier.
Not behaving right?
Right.
He's one that only
behaves. Yeah.
But the whole point of this is these are not just light words. Those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And I promise you, it's every time you look and you think something should change. But especially where this will be most revealed. First, it's like everything else. It's first in your, if you're married, it's first in your wife and your children. Then it's in the Seder. Then it's in the body. Then it's in the whole world. But it has to be worked out.
Like forgiving from the heart.
Yeah. It's like, I was the last word for this issue that's coming out was going to be about forgiveness. And I wrote a whole bunch of, did a whole bunch on forgiveness. And then, what's missing here? Well, what's missing is you have to write about humility before you can write about forgiveness. Except I could use that as an excuse for everything.
Forgiveness, as I've always thought of it, puts me in a superior position. But true forgiveness, there's a, like you said, there's humility has to come first before true forgiveness.
Yeah, that's like these people. For years, people have come up to me and said, "Only I forgive you. I just wanted to let you know I've forgiven you." What the hell are you talking about? I forgive you for being what you are, like you are. Screw you. That's not forgiveness. That's stupidity. That's just, again, it's like, that's judgmental forgiveness, because you've elevated yourself above a person and then forgiven them for it. Just like when you say, well, I saw Don Henley's thing in the paper. If I tell Don Henley he's a great singer, well, that's judgmental praise. Oh, you're such a great God. Well, what? God says, piss off. I mean, that's not... He didn't.
I was just thinking that when somebody says, we want to get married, what you're really saying is, please chain us together for the rest of our lives so that we can learn all the irritating, aggravating, hateful things in each other and see through it. I mean, it's, you're asking, please persecute me.
Of course, you're speaking from your own experience.
Well, I mean, if people knew that going in, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to happen, and people think there's something horribly wrong after 6 months when you can't stand each other. It's what's supposed to happen.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
He's only been married twice. All righty. Take it, big guy.